Hannah, and thank you for checking in to the Home from Wayward OCs. This is a podcast where a friend and I talk about our original characters, the good, the bad, and the self-inserts. Today, our guest is my friend Tanner. Tanner, how are you doing today?
I'm doing real good. How about you?
I can't complain too much. I actually think that you are the first international guest that we've had on Wayward.
Oh, just a little bit north, eh?
Yeah, just a smidgen north. Further enough north from me that you're probably having actual seasons instead of summer for the third time.
Oh, we have been having snow on and off all day, actually.
Oh my god.
I
don't want snow yet, but like a nice like autumn sounds real great right now.
Sometimes we get nice autumns, but between this and the fact that I'll be working on Halloween and like a night shift so I can't even dress up, I've just immediately gone into Christmas mode.
Ah, well, that's not necessarily the worst thing that could have happened, I guess.
Yeah.
Today we're going to be talking about one of Tanner's Glee characters, and in that whole bit that I probably just cut, we discovered that, hey, we actually probably knew each other from way far back on the Glee fan forum.
Yeah.
And also on Tumblr for several years. Yep. Without actually knowing it.
Funny how things work out.
Yes. Full disclosure here, listeners, I was a Glee in high school. I was on the Glee fan forum. A couple of my friends and I went to the Glee Live tour, one of the times when they were out performing around the country. I made myself Glee-themed buttons. It was one of those, like, reusable buttons where you can, like, take off the thing and, like, switch out the paper inside.
Oh my gosh.
And I wore that around my high school. That's a thing that I did.
I'm honestly a little jealous, actually.
If you want to time travel back and take that away from past Christina, present Christina will be grateful not to have that anymore.
Well, yeah, in my history with the Glee fandom, Glee actually started in my senior year of high school. So, for the most part, I was the college Glee fan.
Okay.
And, well, and also, a bit of backstory with my Glee history is that I also moved for my senior year of high school. Just went from the high school where I'd been going to school with people for the past 4 years to a whole bunch of people that I either didn't know or vaguely remembered from the decade before when we lived here. So... Mm-hmm. Whenever I do a move like that, I just emotionally connect to whatever show I'm watching. In middle school, it was Digimon Tamers, and for high school...
That's a great series.
Yup, Digimon Days is choice right now. And yeah, for high school, going into that, it was Glee. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's one of those shows where when it's good, it's good. When it's bad, it is so bad.
It is. My experience with watching Glee pretty much stopped after the second season, partially because I got too busy with school stuff because I was still in high school at the time, and also partially because I feel like that was right around the time when Ryan Murphy started coming up with American Horror Story, and that's where all his creative interests went,
yeah,
and his creative efforts went.
That sounds about right. Yeah, I watched until the end.
Good for you. If it's anything past season 2 of Glee, I will probably need a refresher, but anything before the end of season 2, I should be able to at least get the reference.
For the most part, because my Glee fanfic, this is one of the first big fanfics that I put my effort towards. Because I had dabbled a bit before, and if I could find some of those, like, a really short Digimon fanfic, if I could find that in the annals of my server, I would. But Glee was the first one where I put effort into, and it was after Season 3, actually. And I didn't hate Season 3, but I felt like I could do better, and I had this just gut feeling going forward that they weren't going to be doing right by the characters the way I wanted. The main parts to remember from season 3 that you would need the refresher on is that a whole bunch of people graduated. Brittany got held back. Yeah, they air quotes.
A whole bunch of people graduated, which meant that they still were kept in high billing, and they kept coming back to their high school, which current day Christina does not understand the appeal of. Like, visiting friends while they're still in high school. Fine, I did it. I've crashed choir rehearsals at my high school before, but only when I still knew people in it, and I didn't come back every single day like they seem to in the show.
Yeah, they... Well, and, like, when I visited my high school, I still lived just down the street from it, so it wasn't a big deal. These are kids who are... These are high school graduates who all their money should be going to paying for their ridiculously expensive performing arts universities, and they are flying from New York to Ohio on a semi-weekly basis.
I mean, the simple answer to that is just narrative convenience.
Yeah. But
at the same time.
But yeah, so if... Fortunately, my OC does not have to deal a lot with the major Glee continuity. Like, if you want to ask him about how I dealt with Tina and how I dealt with Clayne, then go for it. But for the core of my OC we're talking about today, most of that is my own original stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically...
And... Oh, sorry, go ahead. Finish your thought.
Well, I was just going to say that the OC we're talking about today is my boy, Sean.
Okay. For some reason, I had that written down in my notes as Spencer, and I was like, I don't know why, now I don't know why I picked Spencer as the name for your OC.
There was a...
whose name is Sean.
There was a Spencer in the final season of Glee, but, yeah, I don't know. They both start with S.
I don't know either. They do both start with S. Alright, so, tell me the story of Sean. Which Glee couple did you break up so that Sean could be happy?
Oh no, actually... Most of my OCs for this season, because I specifically billed it as the virtual season 4, I wrote it as a script fic.
Oh, nice.
But most of my OCs ended up just dating with each other. It was just one of those tangled webs. All of their interactions with the older kids were more like mentorships. Like, Sean kind of became Tina's prodigy for a little bit. Sean's creation was, he's the OC who has the most of me inside, because his whole shtick at the beginning is that he hates himself, and he does not think he can do anything right, and he just wants people to ignore him and leave him alone. And that's kind of the mindset that I was in when I started writing this fic. Yeah, I was going through a lot of stuff, and I had gone... through two faculties in university already. I went in to be a teacher. After my first year, I changed to computer science. And at the near the end of that second semester of computer science, I still didn't feel like I was in the wrong place. I still felt like I was in the wrong place, but I had this thing in my brain that I didn't want to switch to English. I didn't want to do anything creative because that fear... My parents tried to give me good advice and say, hey, being creative is great, but you do need to make sure you can support yourself. And I, foolish, paranoid, anxious me, misinterpreted that as, do not pursue creative stuff because you will fail and your parents will shame you. And that is not what they tried to imply. My parents were great when it comes to my creativity. I just completely messed that up for those few years. I like to say that I was a very unassuming teen, so my... rebellious teen phase didn't happen until my early 20s.
Yeah. My parents gave me the same advice when I was going to school and looking for jobs.
Yeah.
It is good advice.
Mm-hmm. It is, for sure. But yeah, so between my unfulfillment at university and my unfulfillment with Glee, I started designing several characters, and like some of them were just made based off of the Glee project. Oh, you would have missed the Glee project, wouldn't you?
I was vaguely familiar with it. I feel like the Glee project aired on, like, FX or something. It was on a network that I didn't have access to, and so I didn't watch it.
It was on Oxygen, which...
I definitely did not have access to that then.
I'm pretty sure it's, like, it mostly airs reruns of TLC shows.
Yeah.
But for the...
Wasn't Damian McGinty... the one who played the Irish kid, the winner of the Glee project?
Yep. They...
Okay.
So, yeah, for the viewers at home who... I'm sure you've figured out what Glee is, but if you don't know the Glee project, that was a reality competition series.
Heavy quotes on reality, heavy quotes on competition.
Yeah, pretty much. Basically, you get a whole bunch of interesting young adults of variety of diversity going on in there to compete with each other to earn a recurring role on the upcoming season of Glee. And mm-hmm. then they, of the two seasons, they managed to, and of a very talented and diverse cast, they managed to pick three white guys.
Yep.
And they're good at what they do, but the time that I wanted to bash my head into the TV was when they had the Allie, I can't remember her last name, but Allie, who's in a wheelchair, and she's gone on to be in several Broadway plays. She was in the Spring Awakening revival. And,
oh, nice.
Yeah, she's so great. And you've got Eileen, who I think she's like an indie musician now. I haven't been able to keep track of her that much. But they were in the final three along with Blake Jenner. And Blake Jenner ends up winning. And he's fine. But it's like, Glee is supposed to be the big, diverse, like, I mean, it ends up being tokenism. But still, you think they'd swing for the fences. Yeah. But no.
Yeah. If we're going to be here to talk about Glee and issues with casting, we're going to be here for a very long time.
Oh, we need to start our own podcast. Okay, back on topic. The beautiful thing about the Glee project was that if you were making OCs for any season of Glee and you need a face claim, they were right there. And you already knew what kind of character they'd play. You already knew what they'd look like, how they could sing, what songs would be in their repertoire. So, yeah, my face claim for Sean was Michael Weissman.
Okay. Who,
he was another white boy. I was not super woke back then, as the kids say.
I mean, were any of us really around the era of 2009, 2010, 2011?
Yeah, this would have been around 2011, 2012. I was like on the cusp. I was trying real hard, but there was some very half-baked attempts at Muslim acceptance subplots there. I was like, I really could have done those better if I was writing those today.
Hindsight's 2020.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, so Sean shows up. He actually appears near the beginning of my virtual season. But he's referred to for the first few episodes as the boy in the hoodie. He's the mysterious hoodie okay. boy, and he's just like, he slouches as he walks down the halls, and sometimes people spot him, but he like basically hides. He throws his hood up and avoids their sight. And it's not until he is caught singing under his breath by Tina that she's like, oh, hey, you can sing. You have to join the Glee Club immediately. It's a law of the show.
It's a blood pact.
Yeah, essentially, oh, no.
If you can modulate your voice and pitch, you have to be in Glee Club.
Oh, you're almost right on the money, because he basically, she keeps trying to get him to join, and he's all like, no, because you're just pestering me, and I can't actually sing. I can't do anything right, and you guys are just making fun of me. So Tina does the logical thing, and she kidnaps him. She tricks him to going to the auditorium, and then she has the other Glee covers lock the doors so he can't escape, and she forces him to sing Perfect Situation by Weezer. Yeah.
I mean, that fits with Glee.
It's very Glee. Like,
it is very Glee.
I do remember when writing this fic that I was going to avoid all of the mistakes that Glee made, and I managed to be the most on-brand for Glee that I could have been.
Avoiding mistakes for Glee is like trying to cross a minefield, drunk, barefoot, and after you've just like taken a turn at trying to break a piñata open. There's just so many mistakes they made.
There are two gifs that perfectly describe Glee. One is the choreographer, who is just saying, it wouldn't make any sense, but it's Glee, so, eh. And the other one is from the middle, with the girl saying, Glee doesn't always make sense, but I still cry.
Yeah, that's fair.
In Honesty Zone, there are still some songs that make me tear up.
Oh yeah. I think I still actually have the I got the DVD of the first half of the first season, I think, for Christmas one year.
Ooh.
And, like, the first season was really good overall. But, like, yeah, I still have so many of the songs saved to my iTunes.
Same
just
here.
Because, like, they, like,
they can sing.
We've said a whole lot about them, like, narratively. Narratively, Glee is not the best, but musically, like, they have some really awesome singers on there.
Oh, yeah.
Especially my favorite, Darren Criss.
Yeah. I don't know. I soured on Darren Criss after a point just because of Blaine fatigue.
That's okay. That's fair.
I think most of the songs I still have are Naya Rivera.
Mm. Yeah, she has... It seems like she's had an interesting life post-Glee, but yes, she also is a very good singer.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so Sean...
Back to Sean.
Sean gets roped into the Glee Club, and he still hangs low for a few episodes. There's a few scenes where he helps Tina with her presidential campaign, and he dresses up as the Invisible Man for Halloween, because of course he does.
Okay, then, which Invisible Man? Are we talking, like, the monster, the Invisible Man? Are we talking, like the book from your English lit class, The Invisible Man?
Like, the one where he's wrapped up in bandages and he's got the glasses on.
Okay.
And he's just like, it's me, I'm the Invisible Man, and you can see me, but you can't actually see me, and you can't see who I am.
Okay.
But it's not until we get to the traditional mashup episode, which was also a 90s episode.
Nice.
And he gets paired up to figure out a duet with another one of my OCs, Craig, played by Cameron Mitchell, who I was really unique in that I didn't have Cameron's OC end up with Damien's character, because they were the, I don't get deep into RPF, but damn if Damien and Cameron did not cause a lot of feelings on Tumblr.
I'm sure that there were, had I been on Tumblr at that point, I'm sure there would have been lots of feelings about everything happening. Thankfully, I didn't get on Tumblr until like 2011, so I missed that.
Yeah, I think you hit the sweet spot.
But anyway,
Sean and Craig, Sean goes over to Craig's house, and they are talking about stuff, and they end up singing Smells Like Teen Spirit by Nirvana. And if you sing that song with another guy and you're a teenager, you have to end it with just a sweet makeout session.
Okay.
Because Sean is also gay, but this is Glee, so you can't just be gay in high school. You have to have every single cliched gay trope.
Yes.
My only exposure to young adult gay stuff at this point in my life was Glee, and like I think one other novel, which...
Oh god, I'm so sorry for past you.
Oh, I am too. There's been a lot of growth in my life since I realized that Glee is not as great as I thought it was.
Preach!
Yep. But yeah, so they kiss, and then Sean avoids Craig because, no, I was just confused. I'm not gay, and to prove it, I'm going to go find this cheerleader, and I'm going to start dating her instead. And she's going to be my beard, and we're going to prove our love by singing a mashup of As Long As You Love Me by the Backstreet Boys and Jump Down by Bewitched. In my head, it sounded really good.
I don't think I've heard, like, Jump Down before.
Oh, Bewitched is kind of a niche 90s band.
Okay.
They're either Irish or Scottish.
Okay.
I can't remember.
I do like Irish and Scottish music, so I'll have to give them a check out after we...
It's spelt like B asterisk witched.
Of course it is, because the 90s.
Yep. So yeah, so then we get the shipping battle between, and like I say this a bit tongue-in-cheek, but there were actually people in the comments of the forum saying, "Ah, I don't know whether I should be rooting for Shag or for Shidia."
Oh my god, they had portmanteau ship names! That's how you know you've made it!
Oh yes. And so, for the next few episodes, it's basically... Craig is pouting because, Sean doesn't want to come out of the closet in this incredibly hostile high school environment and be with me.
Yes.
And instead he's sticking with his beard. And then Craig's best friend, who is also his beard, she's standing there like, "Honey, maybe you should just relax, realize the fact that this high school is terrible for queer people, and just let him do his thing. And also the fact that you really want me to stick with you and you won't let me pursue my love interest is kind of greedy. And Craig is just like, okay, fine. But what if I continue to harass Sean? But if, when
I mean, to be fair, high schoolers.
High school. And when you're gay in high school and there's only one other gay person in a 100-mile radius, you do tend to settle. And that is kind of what happens. At some point down the line, Craig admits that, okay, he really, or no, Sean admits to Craig that, yes, he really is gay, but he doesn't want to be with him out in the open because that's dangerous. And then they have a really angry duet set to We Can Work It Out by the Beatles.
Oh my god.
I'm still kind of proud about this because I divvied up the lines so that it sounded like they were fighting with each other. And for some of Sean's lines, I changed it to We Can't Work It Out.
Okay.
And it's like, it's a little basic, but I still think it's kind of clever.
No, that is a good use. That's just not a song that would have occurred to me to be used as like a We Can't Be Together song.
Oh yeah, I was reaching to some of my, I went out of the way to do some personal favorites instead of stuff that you'd expect. I did have Sam singing the Pokemon theme in one episode.
Yes. That is very in character for Sam, though.
Yes. But yeah, so what ends up happening is Sean and Craig, they do that angry duet, and everyone keeps on telling Craig, like, don't be pursuing Sean. He clearly doesn't want to be with you. And then, now this is one episode I do have to open up and find, because when I was reading through these episodes, trying to see
Are the forums still active?
The forums are not active, but okay, I do have all the docs still saved.
Okay.
And so,
fun fact about the forums while you look. I like I said, I was on the Glee forum, and I actually found on the Glee forums my one best friend in high school who was even more of a Glee fan than I was. Her parents bought us tickets to go see the Glee show. I found her on the forum, and we were just like, how did we find each other on this? And I was like, you didn't disguise your login location! And you have a very, very particular username. But yeah, I never got into reading the fics on the forum. I feel like it was probably more like episode discussion and like music talk.
Yeah, that's fair. The fics, there are a lot of dead fics in there. I'm surprised that I managed to keep this going for 17 episodes.
Oh, nice.
Which equates to about like a year in real life time.
Yeah, that's like a full season.
Yeah, well, I had the full season planned out. Like, I still have the season plan and how it was going to finale. There was, like, a slightly altered, like, a 10-person One More Day cover for the finale.
Oh my god.
Okay, yeah, so here's the part where Sean and Craig are debating whether they should get together. And Sean, after he admits that, like, he doesn't like what Craig's been doing, and he doesn't like the way he's been acting, and he says, okay, you know what, actually? Let's do this thing. And Craig goes, really? And Sean says, yeah, you may have been acting like a giant tool before, but for some reason, I trust you. And I read that, and I was like, the only reason you trust him is because I decided you should. And that was when I started realizing that this relationship is not gonna work, and also that I did not let Sean have basically any agency. And it does get worse when they agree.
Oh, no.
Well, I mean, it only gets a little bit worse on the Craig front, because they initially agree, you know what, we'll both keep our beards. And then, like, two episodes later, Craig says, hey, Sean, I broke up with Haley, so now you have to break up with Lydia. And Sean's like, oh, but I want to let her down easy, because she's actually really nice, and I feel like our relationship really helped her to be a better person. And Craig's like, okay, but I'm going to sing some Robin at you to convince you to call your girlfriend. And so now you need to break up with her.
Was there the Cup song involved? Since this was pre-Pitch Perfect.
The Cup song was not involved, although it did lead to Lydia breaking up with the Glee Cup temporarily, and then angrily singing Natalie Imbruglia's Torn while beating up a mannequin dressed to look like Sean.
Okay! Yeah, I could see that happening on an episode of Glee. Yeah,
there is a lot the there is so much weird stuff that happens in this fic. I gave Sue a parrot.
A parrot? What was its name?
Oh, I have to find it now. Its name was Jolly Roger.
Okay.
I fired Figgins so I could replace him with a character played by David Tennant.
Yeah, I could see that happening. I feel like David Tennant would enjoy being on Glee because he would get to, like, sing and dance and stuff.
Yes. He got to...
So.
He was introduced in the ABBA tribute episode.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
There was an ABBA tribute episode.
I made an ABBA tribute episode.
What did they do?
Say, okay, so it was the mid-season premiere, and David Tennant's character came in as the new principal, and Eileen Beremoslu came in as the new Muslim character, and she was also going to be the temporary love interest for Joe, who was like the devout Christian character.
Okay.
And in the ABBA episode, the songs were, and I'll find the context too, it was called Bjorn Again.
Oh my god.
Which was also the name of an ABBA cover band that my mom really likes.
Aww.
So there was a mashup of Gimme 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 and Lay All Your Love on Me. Then,
yeah, I could see high schoolers singing that.
Oh yeah. And then all the teachers sang Money, Money, Money because the school had a lot of financial issues at this point.
At this point, schools still continue to have financial issues. Everyone, pay teachers.
Please pay your teachers and support the arts.
Yes, pay teachers and support the arts, spoken as the daughter of and relative of several educators. Pay teachers. Respect teachers. This has been a PSA.
Yep. There was a lot of an arc in season 4, the real season 4, where Will goes to Washington to fight for better funding for the arts. And when he comes back, he's like, good news, everyone. They agreed to only cut arts funding by 10% instead of 20%.
I mean, that's progress.
Yeah.
That is progress, technically.
Yeah. Let's see. We also had Finn and Rachel singing SOS.
Yeah.
Because I also...
Yeah.
Listen, Glee fired its Finn gun really early. I did not have Finn show up again until the mid-season finale. Let's see. I had one of my other OCs singing Take a Chance on Me.
Oh man, I love me Take a Chance on Me.
Take a Chance is such a good... Oh, but it was a hard rock cover. I don't know if that would work. I couldn't find one when I was searching for inspiration.
I'm trying to figure out how that could work. I'm sure that if you search through SoundCloud, you could find someone doing a hard rock cover of that song. And you know what? Listeners, if you know of anyone who has done a hard rock cover of that, send it our way, and I'd be more than happy to retweet it.
Oh, yes, I would love that. Let's see, we had Tina singing Knowing Me, Knowing You, which I think was a belated breakup song with Artie.
Okay.
Then Emma, Sue, and Shannon serenaded Roz Washington, the synchronized swimming teacher played by Nene Leakes. They sang Chiquitita to her because she doubted her abilities as a coach. New Directions sang Voulez-Vous for a football halftime show.
Oh, well, that is a very halftime song.
Oh, yes.
Get, like, the color guard in that, and then you got a good halftime song.
Yep. And then the episode closed with Kurt and Blaine singing The Winner Takes It All, because this was the nail in the coffin for Clayne in my fic. I had no plans on Kurt and Blaine staying together. It started when Blaine started smoking weed to cover up his feelings of inadequacy, and then they had an angry confrontation at Christmas where they mashed up Call Me When You're Sober with How to Save a Life.
Okay.
And yeah, and then The Winner Takes It All, and Kurt started dating Diego Boneta.
Who is that?
He is the main guy from the Rock of Ages movie.
Okay.
And he was in the first season of Scream Queens.
Okay. I have not watched any Scream Queens or American Horror Story or anything, so I'm not familiar with him. But you know what? Kurt? Go for it.
Go for it.
Go date a rock star.
Yep. But yeah, back to the topic at hand. That pretty much covers Sean's story in the stuff that I wrote. But I actually had several seasons of fanfic planned ahead of this too.
Okay.
As well, I also I was writing a character competition fix like, I had my own virtual The Glee projects going on FF.net. Where I had people submit their characters, and I was writing them, and I was like, not feeling this character. Eliminated! And the idea would be that the winner of that fic would show up in the next season of my Glee fanfic.
Holy cow. We got a fanfic mogul over here.
Oh, yeah. I wish. I was going to go all in, and then I just got too busy with school.
I mean, that is a very good thing to be tapped up. Well, it's not necessarily a very good thing, but that's a good reason to not be able to write fic, to focus on your studies.
Yes.
Do your homework, kids. Absolutely. Spoken from your mother, Christina.
Yeah. And, well, you know, one of the main motivations that keep me going, though, is I mentioned at the beginning how we're, like, kind of the TV Tropes crew for some Hey Jake mm-hmm. and Josh sphere stuff. You can't find this fic on Glee Forum anymore because the forum got shut down, but it still has a TV Tropes page.
Oh my god, are you serious?
I'm serious. If you look up Glee, the virtual season 4...
And I gotta do the Google.
And I did not plan this. I was at university just hanging out with some friends, and one of them says, hey, aren't you writing a Glee fanfic? Yeah. And then they show me the TV Tropes page, and she's like, is this it? And I'm like, oh my god, where did this come from?
So you're very familiar with that.
Yeah, it was a wild feeling. And I also recently found out that one of my friends may have actually made that page for me. Which is, and that's so wild because she does not care about Glee at all. And we've made TV Tropes pages for some of each other's fics before. But I recently found this out and I was like, I can't believe you did this for me. So I guess, to prove how much you care about someone, make a TV Tropes page for them.
Oh my god, this is fantastic. I have to look at this after we finish recording.
Yes. But yeah, so my future plans for Sean, this is actually where things get dark, and so a content warning for self-harm, because Sean was actually going to attempt suicide.
Okay.
There was, even after I started dealing with my own personal demons better, there was still this core of clinical depression in Sean, and I still had a lot of thoughts like that, and like, thank goodness I never acted on them. But it was definitely something that was in the back of my mind for a lot of the time, especially when I was going through those rough times at university. And so my plan was that Sean was going to make an attempt, and he would have been, like, found at the last moment by Craig, but that's neither here nor there. He would have been basically in a coma for a while, and while this was happening, he was basically going to go on some kind of odyssey inside his own subconscious, and, like, encounter all of his demons and stuff, because it was like, it was born from this thing where I wished I could have, like, turned to the personifications of my demons and, like, confronted them and figured out why I had so many issues and then just get rid of them.
Yeah.
And
defeat them in battle through song.
Basically, it's
because Glee.
I know very little about Persona, but it sounds a lot like Persona.
Me either.
So, if people listening know Persona, tell me if I'm on track or not. But basically, Sean would go through his own subconscious and, like, see all of this stuff led up to this, and he would, like, it would not cure his depression. I was at least smart enough to know that going in, but it was mm-hmm. going to, like, him figure out where some of this stuff stems from and why he falls into these pits of imposter syndrome and paranoia and anxiety that he's not good at anything, even though he keeps on hearing from everyone else that he is good and they like him and they trust him. And mm-hmm. I can't remember what song I had planned, but the ending of this sequence would be basically he's stuck inside this stone cavern in his mind, and then it cuts to, like, the auditorium where there's this big brick wall. And all the other Glee covers show up, and they have, like, sledgehammers and stuff, and they just start smashing the wall open, and that's intercut with scenes of Sean, like, waking up from his coma, and everyone in the hospital being like, oh my gosh, you're alive, you're okay, da-da-da. And it was, in my headspace, it was a really emotional scene. And, of course, he'd still have issues after that, but he would go to therapy, and he would potentially start taking medication, and At some point after that, he and some other Glee covers would sing the song "I Want to Get Better" by, I think it's by Bleachers. And it's, I okay. don't know if it's specifically about what Sean's going through, but it definitely falls in line with the mood. And that's how I interpret it when I first listened to it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and that's kind of where, that's the extent of Sean's future that I had designed.
Okay. So if you had to, like, if you had to write a, like, write an epilogue for him, like, right now, like, what would he be doing with his life? Would he have figured out his issues and gotten together with Craig after all, like it seems like they did with so many people in Glee?
Oh, I feel like if he ever did end up with Craig, it would have been after they had broken up and spent a lot of time away from each other. Mm-hmm. If I were to just go back and completely redo this, I would have kept them apart longer, and I would have had Lydia become kind of Sean's confidant until he was comfortable with coming out.
Okay.
And maybe he would have found someone in high school, maybe he wouldn't, because I love YA stuff where you have all manner of guy couples and girl-girl couples and non-binary couples getting together in high school, but it does often feel like they only get together because they're like the only other person of on the right wavelength, on the right sexuality, that they can get together. And it does also kind of put another pressure. I mean, straight kids already have so much pressure on them to start pairing up in high school. And I mm-hmm. don't really want to put that pressure on queer kids, especially when they may not even have an outlet to do it or do it safely.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Sean would probably be single by the end of high school. He would probably not find a guy until university.
Nice. Out of curiosity then, if you had to pick a song that you know of now, but then have Sean and your fix sing it, what would it be?
He absolutely would be singing Car Radio by 21 Pilots.
Okay.
I did not find 21 Pilots until, like, around the time they had their big break into the mainstream. But if they had been some of their songs that I'm thinking of, they might actually have been around when I was writing this. But he definitely would have sang something like that, or one of the other songs from Vessel. Now I have to check the 21 Pilots songs that I've got. Yeah, so he would have sung either Migraine or Car Radio by 21 Pilots.
Okay.
And that probably would have happened during that little odyssey when he ended up in the hospital.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of your favorite things that you had Sean do? Like, Glee-type antics. We're talking antics with a capital A here.
He was more of a follower than the spearheader in many of these Glee antics. So there was a whole Halloween party where him, the New Directions, and another Glee club had an illegal off-the-books sing-off at Red Six. For Halloween.
Oh my god.
I believe he was involved in the scheme to sober up Blaine from his weed addiction, which did involve at some point just stealing a whole bunch of his stash and keeping it from him.
Okay.
Let's see. He helped Tina run her presidential campaign. But he did not have to dress up as a vampire for it, except in the dream sequence.
Okay, dream sequences, good.
Yeah, he managed to stay on a more realistic side of the Glee stuff. A lot of his, there was the time where, when he was with Lydia, and she was like, I'm ready to move on to the next level with our relationship. And he's like, cool, because he does not know how to deal with that, and so he basically hides in the home ec freezer in an attempt to get himself sick so that he doesn't have to sleep with Lydia.
Okay.
Which is not healthy, but
no.
It is definitely on brand for Sean.
Yeah. I mean, for real world reference here, I worked for a while at a grocery store, and there were times when, you know what, like, I don't want to work with these customers anymore. Can I just go sit in the freezer for a while?
Yeah.
Did not last very long, because freezers are really cold.
Oh, yeah, they are. Oh, yeah, and Sean also, he tagged along with some other of the Glee kids when they went to get sectionals costumes, or no, regionals costumes from a thrift shop, sung to by Sam singing thrift shop, because they need to look bohemian for their rent-themed regional set list.
Oh, God. I feel like I just, like, heard Kit, like, mentally scream from somewhere across the wilds of Canada. those are all very good antics.
Yes, just picture, in your mind's eye, picture the club going through a thrift shop, and Sam is Macklemore, and he sings the R. Kelly lyric. You've got Artie in the background going, piss.
But it's Glee, so would they be doing, like, the kids' bop version of it?
See, I censored some stuff, but I was reading through that episode today, and I censored big ass coat, too big fur coat, but I didn't censor piss.
Okay.
So I don't know what my priorities were.
I mean, to be fair, you were writing this, like, 7 years ago.
5 years ago.
Oh, five years ago.
Not a huge difference, and it's a decade in terms of character development for myself.
Yeah, that's true. That is very true. Has Sean made it into anything else that you've done?
Well, not Sean himself, but definitely pieces of Sean. Because Sean was, like I said, this was like one of my first big writing undertakings, fan fiction or otherwise. And of all of my OCs in here, Sean was absolutely the one who had the most parts of me in it when it came to the mental health stuff. And so whenever I wrote another male main character with anxiety, and there's a lot of them, a lot of them took after Sean in terms of how they expressed that and also how I wrote them. Like, Sean was kind of my first step in externalizing and analyzing some of my own mental stuff going on, and so it came naturally to me to apply that to other characters who were in similar situations.
Okay. Yeah, that is, I know that we've definitely said it before in the podcast, but creating fictional characters is, while not the only way or necessarily the best way, it's a very accessible way to process things about yourself and to work out your own problems. Mm-hmm. And hey, you know what? It's free.
Yeah.
Pretty sure that AO3 is free, and, like, right. Almost every computer nowadays comes with word processing software. Phones have notepads and things. So, like, hey, like, if you're feeling stuff, write about it.
Yep.
This is not to, like, trivialize people who do this for actual, like, therapeutic reasons. I don't want it to seem in any way, shape, or form like that.
Oh, yeah. This therapy is great. But yes. If you can get just little nuggets of self-expression out in whatever way you can, like, definitely go for it. It isn't necessarily a substitute, but it is a great first step.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Okay, so with that in mind, your final question is, why do you love Sean so much?
I think I said this in bits and pieces across the episode, but I love Sean because he's the personification of all the negative thoughts that I had throughout a lot of several years of my life. And he, maybe I didn't write to that point, but I knew that he was going to get better, even if he got to the darkest point that he could go to. He was still going to make it out, and he was going to learn and develop and figure out how to become a better, healthier person. And I would like to hope that I am at least on that track myself.
Hey, you know what? That's a very good and hopeful thing to think about your OCs. Mm-hmm. So kudos to you for that.
Yeah, like with fictional characters in general, but especially my OCs, I don't set them up to fail. Like, I really feel bad that Sean had very little agency when I was writing him, and he basically just got dragged along by whatever bigger personality managed to grab hold of him.
I mean, to be fair, when you're a character in the Glee universe, it is almost nothing except for big personalities.
Oh,
so.
For sure. Sean is definitely an outlier because he's like, just like, no, I'd rather just like stay at home, listen to music, just I just want to relax and take a nap. He's ahead of his time when it comes to millennials.
Yep.
But yeah, I don't like setting up my characters to fail. I like them to have a chance and to have the capacity for growth and development.
Yeah, that's really good. So, Tanner, thank you so much for being willing to come on Wayward and talk about Sean.
Well, thank you for having me. Thank you for inspiring me to dig out these old fanfics.
Hey, you're welcome. And fun fact, dear listeners, in getting stuff compiled so I can archive my files, I found several of my own fanfictions written longhand, including my old Neopets fanfiction and one of my old Digimon fanfictions. So those might be coming up at some point during the lifetime of Wayward. I make no promises as to when, but they're out there.
I can't wait. Listeners, my grin is about to split my face in half. I am so excited.
It is a very wide grin. So, Tanner, do you have anything you want to promote on the internet? Places you want to be found? Podcasts? Because I know you have at least one podcast.
I have like one and a half and a bit podcasts. You can find my personal Twitter at SparkyUpstart. As for podcasts, I am a recurring member of the Super Fun podcast, which is me and my friends, whoever's available, talk about gaming and entertainment news. And I'm also the DM for the Super Fun Tabletop podcast, and we're currently doing a Pokemon actual play. And then nice. I've also just started a podcast myself. I'm running it and editing it and everything with my friend Lindsay. And this podcast is called Not If I Reboot You First, where we take popular properties and we reboot them before Hollywood has the chance to. Our first episode had Lindsay taking apart the second season of Once Upon a Time.
Oh god, that show.
And then by the time this episode comes out, then you guys are, our second episode will probably be out, and that is me talking about The Breakfast Club.
Okay.
And so,
I mean, The Breakfast Club did already kind of get a reboot. It's called Power Rangers, the 2017 movie.
Yeah, my Breakfast Club is kind of like Power Rangers, but without the giant robots.
Nice. I will have to make sure that I listen to that then.
Yep. And so all of my podcasts can all be found on Twitter under @RealSFN.
Okay.
Let's see. Oh, yes. And I'll also, by the time this episode of Wayward comes out, I was a guest on Benny's podcast, Uregar's Forge of Creation. So you guys should check that out as well, because it was a pretty fun time there, too.
The Home for Wayward OCs can be found on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Stitcher. Our theme song is Violet by Poddington Bear, courtesy of the Free Music Archives. New episodes come out on the 2nd and 4th Mondays of the month. If you'd like to get in touch with us, we can be found on Twitter at WaywardOCPod or through the WaywardOCPod hashtag. You can also email us at waywardocpod@gmail.com. And we do, thankfully, thanks to everyone who has been getting in touch about being on the show, we do have guests scheduled for the next couple of months, but this is a special call to arms. If you or someone you know have an original character that is in any way, shape, or form related to specifically the winter holidays or Kingdom Hearts, send them my way because I'm interested in doing some, like, block scheduling kind of things. But none of that can happen unless people hear about our podcast, which is something that you can help do by rating and reviewing us on your listening platform of choice, because it helps us to find more listeners and more guests and to brighten more people's days. So, thank you all for listening. This has been Home for Wayward OCs, and we hope you enjoyed your stay.
Fifteen minutes of that is us just throwing shade at Glee.